Hello and welcome to the Balanced Wealth Podcast. My name is Gavin DeStasi, and today we're going to be talking about the cost of college education. Specifically, we'll be discussing the rising cost of attending college over the past 50 years, some of the factors that have contributed to that rise, and some basic strategies for dealing with those increased costs. It's no wonder that this has been on my mind lately, with one child having just finished his freshman year in college, and a second entering her senior year in high school. College costs are definitely top of mind in the DeStasi household these days. And it's not just our household, obviously, as the topic has been front and center on a national stage as well, specifically in regards to the enormous amount of student debt load being carried by Americans and the efforts of the current administration to try to relieve some of that burden from those who are struggling to bear it. The pursuit of a college education has long been considered a pathway to personal and professional success, but over the past 50 years, the cost of attending college has skyrocketed, placing a significant burden on families and individuals seeking higher education. And while we've all come to expect inflation to have an effect on all areas of expenditures over such a long time frame like that, just think about how much anything costs when you were a kid as compared to now, when it comes to the cost of attending college, inflation just seems to have hit harder over that time. And the reason for that is, well, it has. According to data from the College Board, the average cost of going to a private college, including tuition, fees, books, and room and board, went from $2,930 per year in 1971, the year I was born, to $51,690 in 2021. And for public college, the cost went from $1,410 annually to $22,690 annually for in-state students over the same period. What that means is that the cost to attend college has risen by somewhere between 3 and 5 times the rate of inflation for other expenditures over the same period. Now, it's important to point out that over the past few years, costs have actually stagnated due to a number of factors, including some COVID-related measures, as well as other factors. And that was during a time, as I'm sure most of you are aware, where inflation has been much higher for most other things than usual. But I'm inclined to think this slowdown is more of an outlier than a real trend. And so I would fully expect the cost to begin rising again in earnest before too long. So why has the cost of attending college been going up so much faster than the cost for other things? As usual, it's a combination of several factors that have contributed to the relentless rise in college costs. One significant cause is the reduction in state funding for public universities. Over the past few decades, many state governments have shifted their priorities, allocating less money to higher education. Consequently, public institutions have been forced to compensate for this decline by raising tuition fees. Inadequate state funding has thus placed a heavier burden on students and their families. Additionally, the expansion of administrative personnel and non-instructional services within colleges and universities has contributed to the cost escalation. As institutions strive to improve facilities, increase student support services, and comply with regulatory requirements, administrative overhead has grown exponentially. This expansion often comes at the expense of instructional spending, diverting resources away from the core educational mission and further driving up tuition. The advancement of technology is another factor influencing college costs. While technology has enhanced the learning experience, it has also necessitated substantial investments. Institutions must constantly upgrade and maintain computer systems, software, and infrastructure, all of which contribute to the financial burden borne by students. The advancement in technology is an interesting one as well if we consider the concept of productivity gains. Unlike other areas of the economy, like manufacturing, it's difficult to increase productivity in higher education while maintaining the same experience. New technology and improved methods can increase production at a steel mill, for example, but there's not much innovation to introduce in a traditional 10-person literature seminar without sacrificing quality. So while productivity gains in the overall economy keep the cost of producing goods from growing too fast, higher education and other services haven't benefited from that productivity boost. That means it costs colleges more to produce an education, and that has led to higher prices for students. In a sense, then, advancements in technology are a sort of double whammy when it comes to the rise of college costs. Demographic shifts have also impacted the rising cost of college. Firstly, the growing population has increased demand for higher education. more students competing for limited spots in colleges and universities has allowed institutions to raise prices without experiencing a significant decline in applications. Moreover, the changing demographics of the college-going population have influenced costs. An increasing number of students from historically underrepresented backgrounds, such as low-income families and minority communities, are pursuing higher education. These students often face additional financial barriers, including limited access to scholarships, grants, and family resources, exacerbating the challenge of affording college. This has also increased the exploding amount of outstanding student debt being carried by Americans, which is obviously a hot-button issue on the national stage right now. Also adding to the debt problem is the fact of wage stagnation among recent college graduates, which makes the prospect of paying off all that student debt all the more daunting. So what can one do to prepare and/or help to mitigate the effects of the increasing costs? Well, unfortunately, there are no silver bullets, as you may have guessed. Starting early is the best advice we can give, to be sure. Taking advantage of savings vehicles like 529 college savings plans and the associated tax advantages, and starting to save as early as possible is vital, even if you can only save a little bit to start. The effects of compounding are real, so even putting just $25 or $50 a month to begin with can add up to quite a bit over 18 to 20 years. Students should actively seek out scholarships and grants, which do not require repayment. Many organizations and institutions offer financial aid based on academic, athletic, or extracurricular achievements. There are so many out there, and it can be difficult to sift through all of them, but there is a lot of money to potentially be had if you're willing to take the time and energy required to do the research and seek it out. Another option to reduce costs is starting at a community college and then transferring to a four-year institution. Something I've been hearing a lot more these days is students who might have the academic record to get into a four-year university opting to attend community college for a year or two and then transferring to a four-year simply to reduce costs. And it makes sense, because at the end of the day, the degree doesn't say Diablo Valley College / UC Berkeley, it just says UC Berkeley. And if it saved you having to take out $30,000 or $40,000 in loans for the same piece of paper, well, I can certainly see the logic in that. As I said, there are no silver bullets when it comes to dealing with the high cost of attending college. And despite the stagnation in cost increases the past few years, the bottom line is that for all of us staring at the impending or current prospect of paying for it in the near or distant future, I wouldn't expect it to get any easier. So we're just going to have to accept that and all figure out how best to deal with it based on our own specific family goals and resources. Opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. This program should not be construed as financial, legal, or estate planning advice. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital, and seek advice from a licensed professional. Topel & DeStacy Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Topel & DeStacy Wealth Management, LLC and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Topel & DeStacy Wealth Management, LLC unless a client service agreement is in place.